And now, Forward with Falk. Join Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen as they navigate their way through the political thicket. Dave, did you read the actual decisions in the Alabama court case? The court case that found that fetuses are children?
I didn't read the full opinions. I read some blurbs of them. There were more. The one I read was the concurring opinion.
The concurring opinion, I think, is the one everybody will read. Probably that's the one that's going to be quoted all the time.
That's the... more like the sermon than an opinion.
Did you ever read an opinion in which the citations were all theological?
Can't ever think of doing that. I think there were some dissenting opinions that had some references, but not the whole nine yards being... this is where we're at. We've got Speaker of the House who said his guide is the Bible.
Well, that's what this fellow's guide is, Jeremiah, the book of Jeremiah. Before I knew you before I created you in the womb. Who do you know? What's he talking about? This is science from the 12th century. This is science before anybody thought to invent the gene theory. This is nonsense spouted by people who think that if you take a chicken and cut its head off and put the blood in a circle and prance around the circle, you'll cure disease. What you got to do with a chicken is cook it and make chicken soup. That cures disease.
Well, what they got to do is, they got to pray for the chicken.
Yeah, they got to pray for the chicken. But listen, really, isn't this Christian Sharia law? Isn't it exactly what we're looking at? The Christian version of Sharia law?
Yeah. It's not alone.
No.
It's not alone. This is what's been happening. We've seen it, and it's contrary to everything that the founders wanted or said, but these folks don't care.
No, except that they keep referring to the founders as justification for what they do. You can't have a living constitution because it's got to be the founders. Can you imagine Tom Paine confronting this kind of a decision, the man who wrote The Age of Reason? It's incredible. But let me ask you this. I mean, all right, that's all terrible. But what do you think the political implications of it are? Do you think that this great victory by the MAGA base is going to be good for MAGA?
No. And they know it's not going to be good for MAGA because you see everybody running away from it. Donald Trump, who's been going around bragging that he put three justices on the court that got rid of Roe v. Wade, has let out that he's really, he doesn't agree with this decision. And by the way, in terms of abortion, he's only in favor of a 16-week ban. Well, another sterling reason, because it's a square number.
Right, exactly, right.
Yeah, it has nothing to do with the science. It just has to do with, I'm picking a number, you know?
Yeah, right. Well, these guys are also the people who yell about left-wing prosecutors, DAs, who won't prosecute. But the Attorney General of Alabama said that he wouldn't arrest anybody, either who was performing IVF or who was involved as a patient in IVF. But isn't that the whole point? They just found that the law says you can't do it? And he says he won't arrest anybody? Isn't he violating the law?
Well, he's violating the principle that they keep talking about. Like you said, that prosecutors who won't prosecute.
Yeah.
you know, the effects were immediate in Alabama. A couple of the clinics.
Three of them. The three biggest, yeah.
Yeah, they shut down. The doctors don't want to engage in that. And it's interesting, like Nikki Haley at first said that she agreed with this, despite the fact that's how she had a child, was IVF. The issue isn't that the implanting of the egg that's been fertilized by the sperm. The issue is what you do to the others that aren't implanted or don't take.
Well, yeah, you implant one, it doesn't take, the woman expels it, you implant another one. All right, so what about the one that you implanted that didn't take? Is that murder? Did the woman just murder that embryo, that child?
Well, that's where we're headed.
He's not going to prosecute. So what's the point of the whole thing?
that's it. This is, again, they've caught the car.
They caught the car. You're right.
And they can't digest it. They don't know what the heck they can do with it. And this is just, if there was, you know, the elections weren't showing any real diminution of the enthusiasm of the abortion rights forces. But if there was any, if there were any, I guess it's the grammar here, certainly.
No, I think if there was any diminution is correct.
Okay. There was any diminution.
Although word would just be correct, conditional, right? That's okay.
Yeah. But it's been...
It's been reinvigorated.
It's reinvigorated.
Absolutely.
Because they're mentioning now that they're going after birth control next. Don't forget there's that one case that's up in front of the Supreme Court out of Texas where they're shutting down all the, you know, the 20 years of approval of the FDA of the morning after pill. And it's, you know, you just see this. They're actually, in Michigan, Mike Rogers, who's running for the Senate, came out against this Supreme Court opinion, Alabama opinion. And then one of his potential opponents, Elise Slotnick, reminded him that of the few bills that he ever sponsored or co-sponsored in Congress, one of them was to ban IVF. So, yeah, and there's another congresswoman from down south, the same thing. You know, she had a child with IVF, and then she's all for banning it. You know, it's the typical, we've got ours, but you can't have yours.
The point is that, this goes beyond IVF.
Right.
The whole point is that women are clearly looked upon by these reactionaries as subhuman, as not people, but as creatures who can be pushed around. They don't have autonomy. They don't have the right to make decisions about themselves and their lives. And that's how it should be. They are subordinate to men. That's what they're after. That's what they believe. That's their theology. And this is just an example of it. This is just an instance of it. And the
beat goes on.
And the beat goes on. That's right. And these guys, when they win, I don't see how they can possibly benefit from their victory.
Yeah.
They will enrage more and more people who see through it.
Yeah.
Well, how about this? These fiscal conservatives. The fetus is a child, right?
Yes.
So, how many fetuses, how many fertilized eggs become fetuses in an IVF procedure? 30, 40, 50? A lot, right?
A good number.
A good number. So now, when you do your taxes, can you deduct them all as dependents? After all, they're children.
Oh, there's all sorts of combinations and permutations of this. Yeah. You know, when you have child support, there was the old question, can they vote at 17 years, 3 months, because they've had the 9 months.
Right.
You know,
right.
That kind of thing. Do you count them for the census?
Right.
All this stuff. By the way, I want to. I saw something just before we came on the air that's tangential to this. I don't want to, you know, upset the importance of what we've been saying. But, you know, across the country, there have been all these bills put on or referenda that have been used about, you know, to enshrine in the states the right to have an abortion. And they've all been winning roughly with about 57%.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we had that spectacle in Ohio where they tried to prevent that from passing by passing a bill before that saying that you needed 60%.
Mm-hmm.
And that, of course, that didn't get passed.
Mm-hmm.
That lost by 57%.
Mm-hmm.
But now Missouri is toying with another way to do this. They're going to say, not only in order to pass a bill, you must not only have the majority vote, but you must have the majority vote in 5 out of the 8 congressional districts. Now, because the way Missouri is demographically set up, only Republican bills could pass.
Right.
It's so clever the way they do these things, but in order to thwart the will of the majority.
Right.
And of course, now you get this, you know, this all ties in to this 2025 project and all this religious stuff. In order to thwart the will of the majority, we had that statement.
The majority does not wish to go back to the 12th century. That's right. Just a fact. They don't. Nobody does.
Right.
At least the majority doesn't. And those who do want to do that have to figure out a way to prevent those who don't, 2/3, 90% maybe, from, you know, being forced back.
Well, they don't want to go back either when it...
No, not for themselves.
No. But, yeah, this is...
Although you never know about Mike Johnson.
Yeah.
Look what he managed to... He managed to talk about victories that piss off everybody. He called a GOP House retreat, and he's supposed to explain to them what their strategy is going forward. And instead, what did he do? He gave him a sermon.
Gave him a sermon.
I mean, what... I don't know.
Don't know. and they're still not back in session, and they've got only, 2 weeks left in order to pass the
I think they're going to have 3 working days to pass the first of the budget bills. 3
yeah.
days. They'll never do it.
Yeah, and they're still fighting over foreign aid.
Right.
All of these things. So, you know.
What would you think the Democrats ought to do? What should Biden do to capitalize on this horrendous mistake that MAGA made in getting this victory for fetal personhood?
Well, I think they're already doing it. They're advertising it on social media, and they're pursuing it. They're bringing it up whenever they have a chance. And they're not letting the Republicans off the hook, calling them hypocrites when they, wherever they can. I don't think there's much else you can do except go after them on it and keep mentioning it. And so that's what they're doing.
You definitely can't let the Republicans get away with it. You can't let them just drop it. You can't let Trump say, "I'm against it."
Right, right. And, you know, you call them out.
Yeah.
For that. By the way, I was going to say, you know, when we were talking about voting and democracy, that there was that statement at the CPAC convention this a couple of days ago, where one of the speakers got up and said, "Welcome, we're you know, welcome to the end of democracy. We didn't finish it on January 6th. We're going to finish it now.
He wasn't kidding.
No. Well, they're trying to pass it off as he was joking.
Yeah. He's joking.
He's joking.
Yeah. It's funny how all of these guys are joking, or a slip of the tongue, or he didn't express himself properly, and
Yeah. By the way, in Delaware, there was just an opinion the last few days that by their intermediate appellate court that said that they can't have any more write-in voting is not legal in Delaware, that it wasn't properly it's not proper under the Constitution.
Well, okay.
We're still fighting that in Pennsylvania, you know.
Yeah.
We have it, but they're trying to approve the bill, and the Republicans won't have any of that. By the way, you know, we talked about Pennsylvania. There was good news for Bob Casey this week. He remains 10 points up in the polls, and he's almost at 50. He's at 49-39. Although the poll also shows Biden slightly behind in Pennsylvania, but within the margin of error. So
But
the billionaire class is still out there, you know.
Do you think McCormick can do anything to catch up?
Well, he's got to spend a lot of money trying to. Remember, he came close to Oz, within 1,000 votes of Oz.
That's Oz, but Casey is a different story. I mean, it strikes me that the Alabama ruling really gives an insurmountable wall to McCormick. If Casey uses it, if the Democrats use it, because that's what mobilized the victory against Trump.
Yeah, and that's those Philadelphia collar counties.
Yeah,
and I mean, there's some other things working. There's some offices, at least locally, where the Republicans haven't even fielded a candidate, which means there's nobody there working to get the vote out.
That's right. And plus now you notice that this MAGA candidate, this woman who's never run for anything before, has entered the Senate race in the Republican primary against McCormick.
Yeah, apparently she had enough signatures.
Yeah. Well, she's got enough signatures. She runs against him. She doesn't win. But she might do just enough so that the MAGA people won't vote come the general election. That's all it takes.
And don't forget, Donald Trump, again, is railing against write-in votes.
He's still doing that.
Yeah, he's still doing that. The party is gnashing its teeth, but, of course, there's not much of a party. He's taken it over completely. He got rid of Ronna McDaniel.
Has she resigned yet?
Yeah, she's out. And the new guy is from North Carolina, a sycophant.
And Laura Trump.
And Laura Trump. And what's going to happen is they're going to siphon off as much money as they can that comes to the RNC to put into Trump's legal problems.
Well, he's got a lot of legal problems. Let's face it, he's got a lot of money that he has to come up with.
He has to come up with a lot of money.
Yeah. But you noticed that Michael Steele, who used to be the chairman of the Republican National Committee, said to Laura Trump, "If you think that your job consists of getting Donald Trump elected president, that's your whole job, you're wrong. Your job is to get the Republican candidates across the board elected."
Right. And there's not going to be any money for that.
And that's exactly right. There's not going to be any money for that. And no time devoted to it.
Right.
So.
Right.
The Arizona Republican Party is fractured. The Michigan Republican Party is fractured. There's at least two other states where the party is on the ropes.
Yeah, well, the Michigan party was basically broke.
Yep.
So was Arizona.
Yep. Now, maybe these parties don't matter anymore. As long as they keep the franchise, they fulfill their function. They don't have to do anything if you have people like Jeffrey Yaz and all these other zillionaires, you know, contributing. They're not contributing to the party. They're contributing to their own PACs. their own political operations to promote their own line, their own candidates, their own campaigns. So maybe the parties are not necessary, except that you have to run on the line of one of the parties.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. The parties have been declining in their influence for a long, long time. That's why the independents are the biggest party in America now.
Right.
But they still perform a function, and they still have the conventions for the nomination and things like that.
But why do you need the convention? The people who go to the convention are bound. They don't have, you know, these are not the conventions of the 1920s or before, where the leaders of the party sat around and worked out deals who'll be the candidate. Now, you go to the convention, everybody who goes has been elected in a primary or caucus. He's legally obligated, or she is legally obligated, to vote for a given candidate. So what do you need to go to the convention for? You already counted the votes.
Well, it's just a chance for...
chance to get drunk.
To launch the real campaign, to get people enthused, to get people meeting each other, brokering things and...
But organically, the parties play no role. They don't develop policy.
No, they give the candidates a line on the ballot.
They give them a kind of candidate line on the ballot box. And the campaign committees that do the most are the Democratic and the Republican congressional campaign committees. And those committees have as their mission getting the incumbents, whoever they are, reelected. So they're not Democratic, small d, organizations. That's the professional politicians campaign committee. So you've got the big money on the one hand because of Citizens United. You got the politicians have their campaign committee. The party plays no role. So what is this electoral democracy?
Okay. Well, that's what people are complaining about.
Exactly. That's why Trump can get away with what he gets away with. Because people are alienated from the political system, and for good reason. And you go to the Democratic Party, let's say, and you say, listen, let's democratize the Democratic Party. And people look at you like you're talking Turkish.
By the way, I want to get back to, talk about being bankrupt. The NRA got hit again, Well, actually, Wayne LaPierre got hit.
Yeah, he got hit.
But that organization has really... falling apart. But this is what happens when you have somebody at top grifting and using it as their personal piggy bank.
But they're not going to disappear, are they?
Well, they're going to be in a very diminished capacity. But then you have that other group, Gun Owners of America, which is...
who look upon the NRA as if they're a bunch of wimping liberals.
Yeah. Yeah.
The NRA has done what it needs to do in terms of politics, right?
Its legacy is pretty well cemented. It's changed the way people look at guns. And ever since they got that Heller opinion, was that Heller? The gun opinion that Scalia wrote?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Where Scalia discovered an amendment that nobody knew existed.
Yeah.
Right, which the right wing treats as if Moses brought it from the Mount, but it wasn't in existence before in 1985 when Scalia discovered it.
Yeah, well, it's amazing, like an archaeological. But you hit it with the millionaires, and then then we have with the billionaires, we have the radio station situation. This week, George Soros led the group that's taking over the Odyssey network that went bust. And of course, the right
wing, which is the second or the third largest radio network in the country, right? They have thousands of stations.
And the right wing is just filled with angst about that. Oh my God, there might be a liberal who might control what the content is. They weren't so worried about Sinclair and their right-wing stance and controlling what people hear on the Sinclair stations, which are a huge number. and
Odyssey network, before it bought CBS and became Odyssey, when it had a different name, Entercom, right?
Yeah, Entercom.
Entercom, which was, you know, maybe the fifth or the sixth largest network in the country, had one playlist. Michael Savage, Sean Hannity, and Rush Limbaugh. And that's what they played on the hundreds and hundreds of stations that they controlled. That the right wing never minded.
No.
But that
and that changed America.
Yeah, that definitely changed America. So that network went bust. And now Soros has picked it up because he owns the debt.
I can remember two instances. Back in 1992, I had to take a deposition in the Napa Valley. And I was living in San Diego, and I flew. I could either have gone to San Francisco and driven west or Sacramento. And I was driven east and Sacramento and driven west. And I went to Sacramento and drove. And I can remember Rush Limbaugh being on the radio begging people about how they had to get out and vote for George Bush. Another instance that I remember is when I came back to Pennsylvania, we had a go down to Chambersburg area, which is really just above the Maryland border. And we, as we're going south on 81, listening to the radio, one AM station would fade out and another one would fade in. And of course, it was all Limbaugh. I mean, yeah. You know, you never missed a word.
Yeah.
It was incredible.
And it might have all been Entercom.
It might have been. Such is the influence of these folks, and you know, we're still feeling that. We're still feeling that.
So, what do you think about the South Carolina? Let me just end with this. What do you think about the South Carolina primary? Any significance to it? I mean, it looks like Trump has won 3-2, 60-40.
Yeah, not really. I mean, Nikki Haley's still sticking in.
Why?
That's a good question.
Yeah,
that's a good question. She doesn't really have a chance.
Not only has she no chance, she has no point to make.
Right. I mean, she's starting to take more pot shots at Trump and Biden to say, you know, about age and things like that. But she's going nowhere with that. She's going nowhere with that.
She should have supported Chris Christie.
Yeah.
He got nowhere too.
He wouldn't support her. And then the question is going to be, after saying all these things, is she going to support Trump when he gets the nomination?
I think she said she would. At one point, she said she would.
That she would. Well, they all said
just like she said that she's against fetal personage, right? But
yeah.
She supports the Alabama ruling.
Yeah.
So you can't judge by what they say. You got to see what they do.
And unfortunately, what they've done is damage.
Damaging, that's right. Well, what's coming up next week? Anything?
I'm not sure. I have a meeting with one of the big politicians from Luzerne County. I'll find out.
Does this have a national significance?
Well, Luzerne County has a big significance in the national election in Pennsylvania.
All right, so it might. So it might. We look forward to hearing what you find out.
Yeah.
All right. See you next week, then.
We'll see you next week.
You've been listening to Forward with Falk. Longtime Scranton political observer Dave Falk and WFTE's Jake Rosen discuss politics. Join them again next week. Same time, same place.